Welcome to the Expert Ownership Podcast, where we launch faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. But you know what? It's more than that. We want to help you thrive in the midst of today's cancel culture. Our goal is to raise up workplace warriors who will stand for what they believe in, whatever the cost. You can find out more by visiting expertownership.com. But without further ado, here we go. I've been really, really feeling it. Got to bust a move, watch out.
Well, hey, everybody, it's Eric Beck, and I'm so happy to be on the Expert Ownership Podcast and sharing some insights today that I think will really help you guys out, and just carrying on the torch with David and Jason. We're here because we hear this message, this idea of expert ownership, of being faith-filled, of being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And in doing so, we want to see this happen in every area of life. And part of that always includes business. If you're an employee, you're in business. If you're a student, you're in business. Wait a minute, how's that? Well, if you're a student, you're in the business of learning. You're in the business of preparing. I actually heard someone the other day say to me that when they were in college, they actually treated it like they were already in the job. And they were like, hey, I get 3.5 years of on-the-job training. So I'm starting my job now. What a great mindset. What a learner's mindset. Obviously, if you are running a business at whatever level, or you are an executive or a manager in the C-suite, wherever you're at, everybody's in business. And here's how we know that. Because in John 5, Jesus tells us that God is always working. In other words, he has a business. You remember the phrase when you're growing up, someone says, hey, mind your own business. You know, we all have business. And a lot of times that word business gets turned into a negative, but we want to redeem that word. We want to say, hey, there is a mission. There is a calling. There is a destiny. There's things to do in every day that are ordained. The term that we use in Founders Fire, which is the coaching program I run, is called authorized work. And it is just based on John 5, which says, I only work where I see the Father working, and I only do what I see the Father doing. He's always about his work, and he shows me what he's doing. Well, I think that any promise that's made in the Spirit to Jesus, because we are the body of Christ, is made to us. And so that means we can see that authorized work and we can know what really needs to be done, not just because it's a good idea or not just because it lines up with a principle, but because it's what we're authorized to do. I think there is good work that kind of passes the basic morality test, but then I think there's authorized work, which is where the miracles are. So with that in mind, what I want to do is take you guys into a concept today that we've touched on. If you've been around the podcast or you've come to a retreat, or if you're in the coaching program, you've certainly heard us talk about this. But if you're new to it, we're going to touch it again because it's vital. And it's this idea of eliminating time debt. Eliminating time debt. Time debt? What is time debt? I know what financial debt is. You know, you spend money, you put it on a credit card or whatever, you borrow money, and then you're getting charged interest and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, so we know about what that debt is. And we know that that debt can really weigh us down. You know, if you have just finished paying off your car, it feels awesome. I had experience of this, you know, paying off a car, and I was like, oh, that's so great. You know, you just feel it's just awesome. And when you get done with that, you know, you're moving into a new chapter in a way. Now, I hope that not like me, within about 6 months, you had a major repair and you felt like maybe I'm not really out of debt with this vehicle. But anyway, you all get the emotion of it, right? Right. You get the feeling of that, like, okay, debt can be good, especially if it's strategic debt, if it's debt that helps you bring an increase. I'm not a big fan of debt for consumption. So couches and TVs and such, if you're going into debt for those kinds of things, it's probably not the best. But if you're using debt wisely, I think that can be very effective. But we're not talking about financial debt. Hey, we're talking about time debt. So I want to ask you guys, have you ever had the experience, and I say this tongue in cheek, where there was more to do than time to do it? And you're probably going to say, that's the only experience that I've had. Like, how, what do you mean? Is there any other kind of experience to have? And my answer is, there is. There is. And I want to take you back to when you were a kid for just a second. So if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you can safely, just imagine and maybe even close your eyes and think back to when you were a kid. Think back to a summertime, maybe. Do you remember how long summer seemed? Right? Maybe you can even reach way back in there for me more than half a century ago and remember what it was like to just be in a day. And just it seemed like the afternoon lasted forever. Why? Well, there's some interesting science on this, which I won't get into, but I'm going to take it from a more spiritual or metaphysical angle today. I think the reason why we were so satisfied with the time that we were given, where it seemed so full and so rich and it lasted so long, was because we weren't in time debt. We weren't running out of time. We had so much time, and that brought us into the fullness of the present moment. And as children, there's incredible access to spiritual truths that we can reflect on. When you look back at that and you look at the scripture where Jesus says, you have to become like a child to see the kingdom. Well, to me, that seems to be pretty interesting because it doesn't mean you have to be an adolescent to go to heaven. And I think a lot of times we've overlaid those ideas of God's kingdom being in heaven, like somewhere away from here. But if you look at the Greek word for kingdom, it's basilia, like a castle, like a thing on earth, like a stronghold or a fort or an outpost, right? It's a physical word. And I think it is a physical thing. And I think when we make it too woo-woo and off in the distance, we miss our calling. And in other words, we leave our post. And of course, the Bible has a word for that, apostasy, apostasy. We left our post. That's a big deal. And we can't do that. So as we are regaining a sense of where is my post? Where am I called? Where am I assigned? We can really take that idea and transform it even further into what am I supposed to do with this time? And you can see as children, we were absorbed in the moment. There was plenty of time. And so there was a true peace and peacefulness that we would all associate with those memories, right? But what happens? Well, I'll tell you what has happened. What has happened is we've been lied to, okay? And we've been lied to by the idea of technology. Technology, if you want to do this, go to YouTube and look up some advertisements from the 50s and the 60s. What we were promised was, hey, this dishwasher will save you backbreaking time where you're slaving over this sink and scrubbing these pots and pans. You can just put them in this machine and you won't have to do that hard work. And won't that be awesome? And that sounds great, doesn't it? But then if you add to that good idea, a single good idea, another good idea, which is like, hey, you know what? You won't have to mow your yard. You won't have to, do this thing or that thing or the other thing. And now it's all getting automated. You can just press a button and you're going to be, you know, you're going to get so much of your time back. Well, it was a lie. I'm sorry to say that. That's the nature of a stronghold. A stronghold is when we make individual morally correct decisions that lead to an irrational or immoral outcome. Now, this is Hebrews 5, and we won't spend a lot of time on that today, but I just want to give you the foundation here. You see, it says that the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, are the ones eating the meat. But the other people who are still stuck in the fundamentals of the faith are on milk. And though by now they should be eating meat, they're not. Holy moly, what a verse. Okay, what does that mean though? Well, here's what I think it means. I think it means that when we focus on that fundamental kind of, we might think of it as like level one or, you know, first grade. When we're in first grade, we're learning grammar and to count and basic, you know, things like that. That's great, but it's designed to be knowledge that's built upon. It's not designed to be the whole breadth and width of knowledge. And I think spiritually what can happen is that when we get focused on maybe things that are not really our calling or our priority, we get focused on pleasure and ease and all chase after all that kind of stuff. What can happen is we forget we're on a spiritual journey. We forget that there's such a thing as spiritual maturity. And I like to use the analogy of the martial arts. I have spent, at this point now, almost 26, 27 years in traditional Japanese karate, plus my time in the military, plus some combative certifications I have. So I have spent a lot of time in that category. And I can tell you one thing. You are not as good on day one as you are on day 100. And you're not as good on day 100 as you are on day 1,000. Right? The whole idea of knowledge and skill acquisition is that we're growing. We're getting better. We apply that in music. You wouldn't expect the first time you sit down to play piano that you sound great. You probably don't. You wouldn't expect that in, let's say, public speaking. You wouldn't expect that in really anything except spirituality. What happened? It's like we lose our IQ all of a sudden when we start thinking about spiritual things. But I want to say it is the supernatural is not different from the natural. It's just more natural. It's super natural. It's the most natural thing. We've thought of this idea of what's natural or normal as being kind of corrupted. But I think the problem is that we haven't seen that there's a path of maturity. So in the spiritual realm, we maybe have thought, hey, I am saved, or hey, I believe in God, or hey, I prayed the sinner's prayer. And kind of like, what else is there? Now I'm just supposed to do good and live a normal life. And I would love to come into that idea and completely tear it out of your mind and pull that bad boy down and flush it, because that is a very destructive idea. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to keep growing on the path of mastery, on the path of maturity, and that's what we're called to. And we see that throughout the scriptures. And you look at that and you say, well, okay, what does that exactly mean? Well, here's what it means. I need to have a foundation. I need to have those basics. And I need to make those good individual decisions. That's right. But there are things, if I do not mature, there are situations, there are opportunities where I can make a bunch of good individual decisions that lead to a very destructive outcome. That's what we call a stronghold. Okay, a stronghold is when I'm making those fundamental good decisions, but I don't see the alignment of those. And so it's taking me into a wrong direction. Here's a simple analogy. And then we're going to get back to time debt. The simple analogy is this. You're driving your car and it's been snowing all day, but it's not quite cold enough to stick. So it's landing and melting. Okay, and then it's getting colder. And let's say it's turning into evening. And now it's nighttime and it's in the 20s. And now that snow is landing and it is sticking. So we probably have a really dangerous situation where you have what we call black ice, where you can't see that there's a layer of ice on the ground, and then there's snow on top of the ice, okay? You're driving, doing everything, quote, right. This is a road that I always drive 30 miles an hour on, and I take this turn at 30 miles an hour, and I'm making all the right decisions. I put my blinker on, I'm applying the brake, my hands are at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, you know where I'm going. Well, those are all the right decisions, but they don't take into account the larger situation that you're not driving on dry pavement, that you're driving on snow on top of ice. And as you begin to make that turn, the back end of your car very likely is going to start to slide out from underneath you. And now all of a sudden you have to make an irrational decision, which is to turn in the direction you're sliding. See, this is where in the individual moment, we have to be careful that we don't get stuck at more of like a beginner level in our spiritual development and stay there, because that decision would say, no, I'm sliding off the road. I want to drive away from that. So I'm going to steer away from the way I'm sliding. I'm sliding. Oh, no, I'm sliding. What must I do to stop moving the car in that direction? I need to put on the brakes. See, putting on the brakes makes perfect sense. Steering away from the way that you're sliding makes perfect sense, except it's the exact thing that to do if you want to slide into the guardrail or worse. Okay. Spiritual strongholds, these macro iniquities is maybe a term we can use, are very hard to see, but it is what we must do. It is the task of the spiritually mature person who is continuing to grow, not like, hey, I'm in the club, now I'm done. You know, hey, I got on the team, but I don't come to practice. You know, hey, I'm in the orchestra, but I never actually really do my scales. It's like, no, we have to stay on the path of development. And the path of development looks just like it does in the physical realm. Hey, if you want to get stronger, you don't lift styrofoam weights. You don't just lift 1,000 pounds either. You go from 5-pound weights to 10-pound weights, back down to 5-pound weights. Then you go up to 15-pound weights. Like, you continue a progress. Okay. Until when? Until maturity. The scripture says, you know, Jesus says, it's my will to bring many sons to maturity or to glory, meaning the fullness of their calling, their full potential, what I would call their creative maximum. And if you've heard any of my TEDx talks, I spent one of them on this idea that I feel like that is the next frontier for our calling on this planet, is not to make people better widgets in their job. That is kind of a useless, repetitive, non-creative, data pushing sort of job or whatever you could describe that as. I really feel like this new economy we're coming into is going to be very much about understanding in the big picture how to reach our creative maximum. And I think it's a world we've never seen before. Anyway, all this to say, when we think about strongholds, one of the biggest ones that we can get into is this idea of saving time. And so with that kind of as our long prelude, I want to share with you a few ideas about how you can get out of time debt, what to do to stay out of time debt, and then hopefully a good sense of what it actually is. So it really is pretty simple. It is a stronghold, okay, where we make a lot of good decisions, but what happens is we wind up having more to do than time to do it. And then we believe that that's true. But I'd like to take you back to John 5 and ask you, do you think that God gave Jesus more to do than time to do it? And I think we'd all say, of course not. Do you think that Pharaoh, go back to the book of Exodus, do you think Pharaoh gave the children of Israel more work to do and not enough time to do it, not enough resource to do it? That's exactly what he did. What do we call that? We call that slavery. So are we slaves? Aren't we told we're not to return again to the yoke of slavery? It was for freedom we were set free. So I'm pulling this stronghold down right now. And I want you to pull this stronghold down right now in your own mind and in your own heart. We need to discard the belief that there is more to do than time to do it. It's never true. It's never true. And right now, somebody hearing this, I hope, is getting free. You're hearing these words, but what's resonating in your heart is God saying, stop acting like a slave. You're in the family. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're in this family. You're not a slave. Cut it out. Stop acting like you don't know who you are. Well, when we make this decision about time, a lot of things are going to change. One of the ways to do it, of course, is just to recognize that we do it all the time. And that technology, which promised to save us time, actually put us into massive time debt. And so, again, there's a lot to say about that. But again, just to keep it focused here, when we feel that burden of time debt, what it means is that we are subject to a stronghold. And what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to focus and we want to get out. So just like that driving analogy, when you get off into the ditch, you know, well, Eric, I hear what you're saying, and maybe you're thinking, yeah, that's me. I am in time debt. You know, I'm a single mom, and I've got way more to do than time to do it. Or I'm running a business or fill in the blank. And I just want to say to you lovingly, cut it out. It's not true. Stop believing a lie. Do you really think that the creator of the universe, by design, is going to treat you like a slave and give you more to do than time to do it? No. Are there lots of good things to do that you can think up that exceed the amount of time you have in a day? Absolutely. Absolutely there are. And that's a good thing. Like, we want to have the creativity and the imagination to really see that. However, those individual good ideas all stacked up together, mean you need about a 47-hour day. so we're not going to fall into that and that trap, that stronghold, right? We're going to resist that. We're going to pull that down into freedom, which means I'm only going to do what I'm authorized to do. Time debt is the process that getting out of time debt is the process that we use to, number one, see the stronghold. I'm in the ditch. Okay, now how do I get out of the ditch? Okay, so I'll use this Winston Churchill quote. However beautiful the strategy, you should occasionally look at the results. leave it to the British to be pithy and to the point about it. But yeah, okay, you got this great idea about how your life is supposed to go, but let's look at the results. There's a lot of pressure about time. If there is that feeling, right? Even if you're used to it, I have had people say to me, yeah, but I like it. I like the distraction, the thing. I'm bopping and weaving and going and doing, and I love the pressure. Doesn't really matter if you love it. Matters if you're obedient. It matters if you're doing what's authorized. It matters if you're listening for the voice of God in the situation you're in, and you're saying, I only want to do what I see you doing. I only want to work where I see you working. That's it. Because that's the freedom. The freedom is in knowing that in every moment, there is something that is authorized for you to do, and everything else is not authorized. John 5, Jesus goes to the pools of Bethesda, Solomon's colonnade, and he heals one person. I feel certain there were many people there. Why didn't he heal all of them? Wouldn't it have been morally correct for someone with the power to heal people of cancer or diabetes or the diseases that were probably more prevalent in those days were, blindness or deafness or a lame from some injury or a lack of nutrition, whatever it was, right? But wouldn't it have been moral for all those people to get healed? Absolutely, it would have been. Would it have been authorized? Apparently not. Apparently not. So if you can see that in this moment right now, there is something authorized for you to focus on, then you can see you never have more to do than time to do it. So if you're like with me right now, let's take a couple of quick steps before we wrap up to help you get out of this habit. I'm a big fan of journaling, and I saw some really good recent research from Dr. Andrew Huberman. If you haven't heard of the Huberman Lab, that's a really cool podcast, really cool science there, about the power of writing things down with your hand. So as a fan of journaling and a little bit of an old school kind of guy, I would definitely write some of this down, as in, I will not live in time debt anymore, and the date, and write that every day for a month. Write it every day for the next 3 days, whatever. Write some of this down. Take your ideas and do the physical act of writing it down. It, according to the research, is the number one way to really lodge this knowledge in your brain as active and accessible so that you can implement it. Okay. So if you've had some revelations in the last few minutes here, write them down. Okay. The next thing to do is you want to take your brain and you want to dump out all of the things you think you have to do. What I recommend to our clients, and we go through an extensive process of this in Founders Fire, if you guys want to get some more information about that, head over to foundersfire.com and check out our coaching programs and what we're doing there. Really designed to help people just like you get into maximum freedom and get into full potential in your business and in your life. So here's a little bit of that process. You want to take every single thing you think of that you have to do and write it down. Every single thing. That is the first step. And this could take you 15 or 20 minutes, and you will not like me. You will not feel good, and it will not be fun. And it is hard to do because you're going to want to start working on it. As you think of the next thing, you're going to mentally probably zoom off and leave now and go into the future and start imagining working on this or whatever you're going to do. Focus your mind, use that focus muscle. Okay. I think a lot of the deficit of attention that we have is because the distraction machinery that is our technology. It is always stealing and fracturing our attention. So let's heal it and put it back together like the child who can see the kingdom because we're not distracted by everything. We don't want to be Martha, who is worried about many things. We want to be Mary, who's focused on the one thing, and then it won't be taken from us, okay? So write it out. Every single thing you can think of, just the name of it. Got to pay this bill. Got to make this phone call. That's it. Just a simple title. Write it out, okay? Step two, you need to look at that list, and you need to say to yourself, okay, how much time will it take to do that item? You're not going to know the answer. Please don't get paralyzed. Okay, eyes up, eyes up. Don't look down. You're on the tightrope right now. You're on the tightrope. Don't look down. Keep your eyes up. I'm your trainer. I'm your coach right this minute. Don't look down. Look up. Look up. Look straight ahead. Just guess how much clock time, how much calendar time. Okay, I need to make this phone call. The clock time is going to be 10 minutes. I think it'll take 10 minutes. I don't know. Let me think about it. Let me think about it more. Oh, no, I'm in more time debt. Eric, you put me in time debt. No, eyes up, eyes up, eyes up. You think it's 10 minutes? Good, 10 minutes. Go with your gut. Okay, when is that going to happen? Calendar time. I could do it next Thursday. Okay, what time next Thursday? Next Thursday yet, I don't know what time. Maybe it should be, eyes up, eyes up. Next Thursday at 2. That's it. 10 minutes next Thursday at 2. It's there. Go through your whole list and do that. Your entire list. That may take another 20 minutes. Okay, this is possibly the most strategic thing you're going to do today. You're going to get out of time debt. And it could be permanent. It could be permanently free from this terrible stronghold that has really zoomed into our life with the advent of modern technology. So I'm going to say the last 100 plus years. Okay. Now what do I do, Eric? I got this big piece of paper. It's scary. I'm looking at this. It's terrible. Like, okay, put it in your calendar. Every single one of those is an appointment. Every one of them. Well, but Eric, I have to do normal work. Okay, but we're going to get you out of time debt. So you're going to block off your work time. Yeah, you know, you basically work 9 to 5. Okay, well, some of these to-dos obviously probably have to do with work. So let's put it in your workflow. Oh, I don't know about that. Okay, now this is where I want to challenge you. Do you want to stay in Egypt? Do you want to stay in slavery? If you don't want to stay in slavery, then we got to do something different. And if we don't do something different, you're going to stay. And here's the different. The different is you got to get out of time debt. You got to break the habit. Schedule it. Even if it's 2 or 3 or 4 things a day, put it in your schedule. When it comes time to do that appointment, do it. Yeah, but what if it takes longer than I thought? Stop it. Eyes up. Eyes up. It probably will take longer than you think. Then reschedule the next part of it. In other words, if you don't start living from a schedule, you're never going to get out of time debt. Like, well, Eric, I have to schedule all my time? Are you serious? I am serious. Why? Because apparently we're going to give an account for our time. Every man's work, Corinthians 3:13, every man's work will be tested by fire. Your work's going to get tested. You're going to have to give an account of it. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. You need to choose it. You can't just live life and let the next minute happen and the next minute happen in the name of, I want to be free and I want to be flexible and I want to just flow with it and go with it. I'll tell you what, no high performance fill in the blank, athlete, musician, business person, nobody does that. Nobody does that. Nobody's like, yeah, I'm just going to go with the flow and see what happens. I don't want to be constrained. You know, I want free time. I want to be able to decide. That is a lure and a trap and a lie from the enemy. All your time has been bought and paid for. It has been. So if you are giving a report to an investor, would you say, well, I don't really want to tell you about the money because I just want to flow with it and just kind of make my decision, kind of. No, you wouldn't even get the money if that was the situation, right? You have to have your burn rate. You have to have your cash flow projections, your income projections, your expenses, your everything on your chart of accounts and your P&L. Like, to the dime, we're going to really do our very best to plan this out. Now, God has invested in you. He is the investment banker. He is the private equity person. What did he give you? Well, among other things, time. Getting out of time debt is starting to relate to it differently. A lot more to say on this, but we are at, as we would say, out of time. for this podcast today. I hope this has been helpful for you. Becoming an expert owner, you know, what David and Jason have taught so well really is about living life from this place of freedom, living life from this place of faith, and finding our authorized work in the moment-to-moment experience of life. In doing so, we are aligning with what God has for us to do, and the transformation and freedom and health and goodness that comes from that. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's a path of maturing and working out and sweating. It is. That's why he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. I translate that as come to the gym every day. Work out. Don't stay at, you know, level one or white belt or green belt or whatever. It's like we got to be moving forward. And we've got to break these strongholds of saved and done. We've got to break this stronghold of more work to do than time to do it. When we pull these strongholds down, you'll start to see things happen in your life and your business that are truly transformational. So good luck, and let us know how it goes. I've been really, really feeling it. Got to bust a move, wash out, let me get it. If you're really, really feeling it, put it in your left hand. Up and